Sometimes I think about America, about her struggles through the years. I think of people who did what they had to do with the strength to act through their fears. Sometimes I think about America, about her future and her past. I know I'm blessed to be living in liberty, in a land where freedom will last. For the heroes, for the patriots, for the soldiers, for all the pioneers, I will always be an American, and I'll always cry American tears. Sometimes I think about America, about her people's legacy. I wonder if they knew that what they had to do would be known throughout history. Sometimes I think about America, about her pain along the way. I know it had to be for our democracy, for the world we live in today. For the heroes, for the patriots, for the soldiers, for all the pioneers, I will always be an American, and I'll always cry American tears. I'll always cry.
To preach. Today is really a special day because we do live in one of the greatest countries that the world has ever known. And we are also aware that we are not a perfect country by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, there's no such thing because it's run by people. And so, yeah, there's been mistakes along the way, hasn't there been? But still, I'd rather be an American than anyone else in the world. And I feel blessed to be an American and blessed to have been raised in this country. But today, you know, we're going to be talking. We're going to be coming to the Lord and praying in a little bit and just praying about some of our shortcomings in our country. Because when you're a country that's as blessed as we are, with the hand of the Lord having been upon us, there's also responsibility that goes with that. You know, we have a lot of responsibility. And that's why, you know, I really believe it's imperative for us to take this time. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago, Tony Perkins, who's the founder of the Family Research Council, which is a group that's centered in Washington, D.C., right on Capitol Hill. And they really have a lot of to do with government and government policies, and they're really trying to maintain that Christians have a voice in our government. But about 8 or 9 years ago, he realized that, you know, we needed to have a day of national repentance. We have a day of national prayer in May. And so he instituted what he's called Call to Fall Sunday. And today, this very Sunday, there will be thousands of churches across the United States of America where they're going to take at least 5 minutes of their service to get down on our knees in repentance for our country. Because the premise, again, is 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I talked about. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that word turn from could be translated repent, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. It's really a prerequisite. And as we've seen in all of our lifetimes, most of us that are here today, maybe some of these things happened before. But in my lifetime, I've seen all of these things take place, you know, the removal of prayer from the schools, the legalizing of abortion, redefining what marriage is. And all of these things have all happened in our lives. And some of them within the last several years. And these are things that do not please God. But what I really want to look at for a minute is I want us to turn in our Bibles, and I just want to spend a couple of minutes in the Word of God. And I want us to turn to the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, and I want to read chapter 1. And I did some overkill up there for Brandon. Brandon, I'm not even going to use even probably one-tenth of these verses. When I'm studying a message, my brain works like, you know, did you see the marriage seminar where the guy says the woman's brain is, well, when I'm doing a message, I have a woman's brain. The rest of the time, my wife can testify, I'm the guy. I just want to be in that nothing box. I don't want to talk about nothing. I don't care what you're talking about. I love the nothing box. But when I'm preparing a message, so I gave Brandon about 700 verses of scripture. But don't worry, I'm not going to go to them. I'm just going to major in on a few of them here this morning. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it's always been a power-packed chapter, and along with chapter 2 and chapter 3 and probably chapter 4 and chapter 5 as well. But we're just not going to read them all. But it's really, it's a real minister's manual when you get into chapter 2, if you want to go there sometime, but maybe I will sometime. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as I was praying today, what the Lord wanted us to hear this morning was from this chapter. So I'm going to read this first, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us before we get down on our hands and knees. Now, also, I understand that many of you probably cannot, did I say hands and knees? Get on our knees. But if you want to get on your hands too, you go, roof, roof. I'm only kidding. Strike that from the, you guys watching on Facebook, just laugh, please. Okay. I know some of you can't get on your knees, and so you can just stay seated where you are and be bended in your hearts in prayer with us. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you rather in our prayers. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full, or the NIV says, deep conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. What a powerful verse that is. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Lord, all that we could all say that. That we could be someone that people could imitate. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Those are two words. Think about that. Those words go together all the time. Much affliction and joy. Okay, maybe not. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just going to get back to the word now. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how, here's repentance right here, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I ask again, God, that you'd speak to our hearts from your word, and that today your truth would penetrate our hearts, God. Lord, that even as happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, that it says that they were cut to the heart. Lord, penetrate our hearts today, Lord. And Lord, draw us back to you once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 there, we see a perfect example of repentance. It says they show how you turned. So in other words, you were going this direction. You were following idols, but you turned to God from idols, away from idols. There's a picture of what repentance is. They repented. And that's what our nation needs to do. We need to turn from our idols and turn to God. And we can't expect those in the world to do that if the church isn't willing to do it. If the church isn't willing to repent of its idols. Listen, first of all, we had a wonderful class on Wednesday evening, right here. I always say right here because we just go on one side. And the subject this Wednesday was how the inability of man to hear when God says no. And it's not only the inability of man to hear when God says no, but oftentimes just the inability of man to hear when God is speaking, period. And one of the reasons is we looked at Psalm 115. It says that it talks about idols. It says idols have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have hands, but they cannot touch. They have feet, but they cannot walk. It says those who make them will be like them. And so will all who put their trust in them. So when we're talking about idols, and we're talking about how they turned to God from idols, they turned away from idols. And you know what that did? That opened their eyes so they could see. That opened their ears so they could hear. You know, when we have idols in our life, when we have something that we've got in our life that we've put before God, we can't hear God. We're not going to hear what God is saying to us. We're not going to see what God wants us to see. We're not going to touch those who God wants us to touch. We're not going to go where God wants us to go because we have idols in our lives. They're more important than God. We're not going to listen to him. You know, some people say that we're not giving a choice. No, we are given a choice. We just can't hear oftentimes what God is saying because we're not because we're not choosing it, but because we have idols in our lives. The first choice we need to make is to repent. And as a nation, that's what's so wonderful about this day today. Because you see, the thing of it is something that isn't spoken about anymore in American church either is there are consequences to our actions. Look at verse 10. They turn to God, they turn rather from to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What? And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you want to know how many people in the Church of Jesus Christ today do not believe that there is a wrath that is coming? If you don't believe verse 10 with all of your heart, If you don't believe, in other words, if you don't believe that there is a hell, if you don't believe in absolutes, that if there's a right, there's a wrong, that if there's an up, there's a down, that if there's a good, there's an evil, that if there's a heaven, there's a hell. If you do not believe that Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath, then I've got news for you. I've got good news for you. Throw this book away. Throw it out. Don't read it anymore. If you don't believe that there's a wrath to come, you don't need this book. Not only do you not need this book, you don't need Jesus. You don't need the church. You don't need to come here anymore. You don't need to waste your time at church anymore. If you do not believe that there's a wrath to come, you don't need any of it. Because you don't need to be saved from anything. Because there's nothing coming. You don't have to worry about a thing. Eat, drink, and be merry. If there is no wrath to come, you have nothing to worry about. And if you don't believe that number 10, then you can throw out verse 5 as well. He says, our gospel, what is the gospel? It's good news. Listen, you don't need good news if number 10 isn't real. You don't need the gospel. You don't need Jesus. Our gospel came to you. Look what he doesn't say. Hey, we came to you. He doesn't put himself in the forefront. He puts the gospel in the forefront. It's the good news. When we talk about Jesus, we've got good news. Listen, when you say the name of Jesus to the people on the street, do they think you're bringing good news? No. Because I'm sorry. Let me keep going. Our gospel came to you, says, not only in word, but in power. The power to what? The power to deliver you from the wrath that is to come. With the Holy Spirit. To deliver you from the wrath that is to come, and with deep conviction. Because listen, if you don't believe there's a wrath to come, you cannot have deep conviction. You will not have full conviction. And you'll let things go. The fear of God will be gone in your life. You'll just, if you don't believe that there's a wrath that's coming, that there's a hell, you're just going to start letting things go. You're going to start compromising. Listen, the church is compromised and compromised and compromised so that anything goes today. We need to repent. We need to turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, Jesus died on the cross so that no one has to go to hell. No one has to go to hell. He died so that everyone could have life. He didn't die for a limited amount of people. He died for all. For all. Listen to some of these verses of scripture. I'm going to go to them. And then I'm going to get back to John chapter 3 real quick. And just want to read that and then read one of the verses of scripture. I got zillions of these verses here. You want to read? Want me to read them to you? No. Let me read to you Ezekiel 18. Verses 30 and 32. Listen to the heart of God in these verses. See, this is the good news. Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. You see, Jesus is the answer. How do we escape the coming wrath? Jesus. He died for everybody. Listen to what Ezekiel 18 says. It says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. See, when Jesus is in the house, though, you don't have to be afraid of judgment. Look what he says. I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Listen, that's true. But he says, repent. He's giving you an opportunity. He gives every one of us an opportunity. And that's why he's called you and I as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can go out and give other people an opportunity to repent. But we're never going to tell someone they need to repent if we don't believe there's anything wrong with them. There's no one righteous, the Bible says, not even one. There is no one who does good. There is no one who seeks after God. Together they've all turned aside. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The ruin, I don't have it all memorized, but no one is good. We deceive ourselves if we think, I'm a good person and that's why I'm going to heaven. No, we need to repent of our sins. Here, let me get back to that. I'm sorry, I don't know how I got sidetracked there. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one of you, according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn. He gives us this opportunity. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions, that's repent again, that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn or repent and live. He doesn't deserve. Listen, Jesus died so that no one has to go to hell. But the prerequisite is you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. If you do not, if we refuse to see, I remember years ago I was in Boston. We were at the Boston Marathon. This was maybe 1981, 82, and we were handing out little tracts by David Wilkerson. It said, "Two of Me, My Struggle with Sin." And we were trying to tell people about the love of Jesus so that they could repent of their sins. But man, they were throwing those booklets back at us and calling us names. See, because nobody wants to be told they're a sinner. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. And nobody wants to be told they're going to hell. But you want to know what? That was the best day of my life, when I was told I was going to hell. You want to know why? Because I believed it. Of course, I forgot to leave out this little thing that I was tripping on acid at the time. But you want to know what? I wasn't going to hell because I was tripping on acid. I was going to hell because I didn't put my faith in Jesus Christ and I wasn't trusting in Jesus alone for my salvation. I was trusting that one day my good deeds might outweigh my bad deeds. That's what I was trusting in. I was trusting in the fact that I had been raised and I'd gone to the church. See, that's what I was trusting in. But we have to trust in Jesus alone. We have to repent and trust in Jesus alone. Let me read a couple more verses, and then I'll read a couple more verses, and I'll read about 10 more verses, and then we'll be done. I'm only kidding. Matthew 18, verse 14 says, "So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." It's not the will of a father that even one should perish. You see, Jesus died for all. He wants us all to come to repentance. He wants everyone. He gives everyone the opportunity. We choose. I either accept and believe or I reject. It's that simple. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 7 says, "This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved." He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all," not for the elect or for just a few or a limited amount of people. No, for all. "Which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." 2 Peter 3 verses 8 and 9 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God doesn't want anyone to die. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God made a way for all men to have eternal life. And he gives you the opportunity. Here's my son, Jesus. If you put your faith in him, if you repent and believe the gospel, then you will be saved. It really isn't rocket science. And the devil has us so afraid of going out and telling people the truth. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross did for us. It rescued us from the coming wrath. It rescued us. We are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me read John 3. For God so loved some people. No, for God so loved the world. That he gave his only son that a few people might believe. No, whoever. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. See, Jesus, this is the part that sometimes people don't get. See, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. And sometimes we confuse that with it meaning, see, we can live any way we want. That's not what it means. We need to repent. I'll get to that real quick. For Jesus did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Listen to what it says. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Hallelujah. Whoever believes, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Do you see? Understand how powerful that is? Whoever believes in him is not condemned. He says later on in chapter 5, they've crossed over from death to life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the Son of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. Now listen to the last verse of this chapter. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. See, he's condemned already, it says. Why? Because the wrath of God is on every one of us when we're born under the wrath of God. We're born separated from God. Every one of us is born separated from God, but Jesus came to bridge that gap. Jesus came so that none of us would have to be separated. Jesus died on the cross so that every one of us might have eternal life. He's the answer. He's the one who delivers us from the coming wrath, and we're given a choice. In Deuteronomy, it says this, see, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. He says, this is what Joshua said. He says, choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my household, we shall serve the God, we shall serve the Lord. He gives us a choice. It's very clear in the scriptures. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, we have the first words recorded of Jesus in his ministry, right after his temptation in the wilderness. And it's also recorded in Matthew's gospel. And in Luke's gospel, it doesn't record that way, but the first thing we see is we see Peter repenting, saying after the catch of fish, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. But listen to what Jesus says. These are the first words he preaches. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. There's the formula right there. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. And in the first sermon ever preached, the Apostle Peter is asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. He says, brothers, what shall we do? And then verse 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And who is it that the Lord our God calls to himself? Whomsoever will. The whole world he calls to himself. This is why we want to have ears to hear. This is why repentance is such a big part of it, because unless we repent of our idols, we can't hear God. This is why Paul said, how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And so how lovely are the feet of those on the mountains who bring good news. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to close with two verses of scripture here. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get on our knees. Acts 4, verses 18 through 12 says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, by Jesus, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the capstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. He said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I memorized in a different translation than you're seeing. That there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through me. Only through Jesus. There's no other name given among men, under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads today, because more important right now than even our prayer for our nation is each person here in this room this morning. You see, because I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it literally, and I believe that there is a heaven, and I believe that there is a hell, and I believe that in order for us to escape hell, everything has been done for us by Jesus. We just have to do two things, repent and believe. That's not a gospel of works. We're just saying we're going to turn from our sins, and we're going to believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us. So today, if you're here this morning, and you have never repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation, I'm just going to ask you to raise your right hand real quickly. Is there anyone here this morning? Is there anyone this morning that you've never repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation? Is there anyone this morning? Is there anyone here? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to give you that opportunity. You can look up now. I want to know that there is a biblical principle also that you can see throughout the Bible as well, that when a land turns from God, that land comes under the judgment of God. And you can see it throughout the Bible when you start reading through the book of Judges, and you see what happens with the children of Israel. Follow the Lord fights for them. When they turn from God, he sends countries against them. And finally, ultimately, what happened was that they were taken into captivity as a nation, and their nation was destroyed. We see that in the northern kingdom of Israel. We see that in the southern kingdom of Judah. And America is no different. I remember one years and years ago when Billy Graham preached, and he said these words, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what God wants us to do is repent. Because here's a principle, too. There was a nation, a city-state, which was the nation of Assyria, but the city was called Nineveh. And God sent a man to Nineveh. He didn't want to go at first, so he went on a boat. And there was a great storm, and he got thrown in the water, and he was swallowed by a huge fish, and the fish vomited him up on land. He still had miles to go, so don't worry, the seaweed wasn't all over him like some preachers have said. When he got there, he was all cleaned up. But he went into Nineveh, which says it's like a 4-day trip to get through it. And he just started, and he said, repent. He just started calling them to repent. And guess what happened? They repented. And guess what happened? Judgment did not come. they were delivered from judgment. And so right now, we're going to get down on our knees, and I'm going to attempt to pray some things that the Lord gave to me and some things from right from the scriptures that I'm going to repent of. Because one of the things, I love reading the prayers in the Bible. I love reading the prayer of Daniel. Daniel, when Daniel prays, you know, what do we know about Daniel? We know that they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel unless it had to do with the affairs of his God. That's how blameless, quote unquote, he was. Yet when he prays in Daniel chapter 9, he says, "We have sinned." He includes himself with the people. He says, "Lord, we have turned from you." We, he includes himself. And that's what we're doing today. Because there's none of us here. So you can, right now, you might want to just get down and